Peach Wabba.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Harris says the special counsel report comments on President Biden's memory and mental state were politically motivated, and then some.
When it comes to the role and responsibility of a prosecutor in a situation like that, we should expect that there would be a higher level of integrity than what we saw.
The latest comments on Gaza include this from UN spokesman Stefan Dujarric.
We are extremely worried about the fate of civilians in Rafah.
That's because Israel's prime minister says he wants the military to plan an invasion and an evacuation simultaneously. Maryland Republican former Governor Larry Hogan says he's running for that state's open U.S. Senate seat.
I don't come from the performative arts school of politics. I come from the get to work and get things done school. And I'll work with anyone who wants to do the people's business.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has seen its first ever tornado touchdown in February. The National Weather Service says it happened between Evansville and Edgerton in south-central Wisconsin early last night. There's no word of any serious injuries, but there are a lot of reports of damage. A bipartisan bill to ban deepfake audio and video from political ads in Wisconsin is moving through the state legislature. Rice Lake Republican Senator Romaine Quinn at a committee hearing yesterday.
I know there was an ad during the New Hampshire primary on the presidential side that had artificial intelligence in the ad, and I think disclosure is going to be more and more incredibly important as we try to wrangle the potential impacts of this.
The bill would impose $1,000 fines on the makers of ads that use artificial intelligence but don't disclose it. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Even though we're experiencing warm temps, we haven't reached the end of cold and flu season yet. COVID-19 and RSV activity have remained stable or are decreasing slightly, but influenza has seen a slight uptick. Amanda Zenny is an Aspirus Pharmacy resident. She said when picking the right over-the-counter medication to target your symptoms, your pharmacist is a really good resource.
The best way you can pick the right medication for your symptoms and your health history is to just simply ask your pharmacist. Many of the medications over-the-counter can affect what health conditions you actually already have.
Parents need to read labels carefully and know that most over-the-counter medications are not safe for children under the age of 2.
There are products that are safe for children under the age of 2, especially if you're looking at labeling. For your weight of your child is super important.
Zenny said if your symptoms persist or worsen after 2 weeks, you should seek medical attention. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
COVID-19? I don't want to risk missing work. I booked an appointment for this season's updated COVID-19 shot designed to help protect against recent variants. Learn about a vaccine option and book your COVID-19 shot on ScheduleCOVIDVax.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at FeedingAmerica.org/ActNow. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves, 129-105. Milwaukee's lost 5 of their last 6 games. Doc Rivers blaming it on the team's travel schedule.
You know, you come back from the trip we just came back from, you know, sleep patterns. And then I've never seen the, you know, just the flights that they had us time change coming back, back-to-backs, insane. Having said that, no one feels sorry for you.
NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame announcing its new class of inductees, including 2 former Packers, Julius Peppers, and offensive lineman Steve McMichael. The Bears' Devin Hester also voted in. The Chiefs and former Packers' Marquez Valdez-Scantling says playing with Aaron Rodgers was a difference maker in his career.
Aaron is one of my closest friends, probably one of the best teammates I've ever played with in my entire life. I'm forever indebted to him. You know, him giving me this opportunity throughout my 4 years in Green Bay. He's a great teammate, great friend. Great leader. Love the guy to death.
That's the Chiefs MVS. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Stuck under mostly cloudy skies today, temperatures are hovering near 40. But we've got a breezy west wind gusting up to 25 miles per hour. And that, of course, is making it feel about 10 degrees cooler. We've got to battle another breezy day tomorrow, but mostly sunny skies and much cooler. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this February 9th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we are going to welcome in our friend Sally Kistner from the Arts Council. Talk a little bit about that, thanks to our friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention Bureau. Right now in studio, we've got Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Silver Foxes alum. We have Chris Williams with us. Chris, good to see you.
Good morning, James. And may I say, happy birthday.
Oh, that sung. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I didn't see that coming. Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. Jim Rinker is with us as well. Jim, good to see you.
Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
And Don Mansell is with us. Don, good to see you.
Yes, thank you. And it's going to be fun.
Yeah, appreciate that. Good to hear. Don, first time joining us, so we appreciate the time from you guys and appreciate our Silver Foxes so much. I take any opportunity I can on our morning shows to promote the Silver Foxes, talk about the work that you guys are doing, and to celebrate it, and certainly to encourage people to be a part of things at Silver Foxes. What I'd like to do is celebrate Silver Foxes a little bit with you guys, talk about the organization, talk about the program, I should say, and the upcoming production you have. So, Chris, let's start right here with what Silver Foxes is. If there's somebody out there listening doesn't know what Silver Foxes does.
Silver Foxes is a part of the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Group. And so it was created as a way for some of our older adults that want to be involved with theater but don't want to go through some of the real hard work of memorizing, especially, and things like that, that they still have an outlet to show their skills and act and
to perform,
have fun.
Yeah,
the main thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. WRCT does a great job with this, covering all bases. They have Hopo Productions for kids. They've got, of course, their main stage and that, and then Silver Foxes for people that, like Chris was mentioning, there may either struggle with or just don't have the time to memorize stuff or that. I struggle with that. I always have in my career. As I've done over 100 characters, and I've never had an easy time memorizing lines with any of them, whether I have 20 monologues or one. I've always felt that, to me, that's why they pay me, is to memorize the stuff. The performances are free. Like, performing's all for fun and everything. It's the rehearsal process and all of that that can be a bit of a grind. With that, though, Silver Foxes limits that down, or kind of narrows that down a little bit too, right, Chris?
Right. We typically just we meet one day a week and do our rehearsals. Then as time gets closer to the performance dates, then like next week we're going to have two rehearsals, and then the week of the performance we'll have another two rehearsals before our performance date. So
not a heavy schedule,
right?
You know, right. In comparison, a main show, you're going to meet oftentimes at least Monday through Thursday. Sometimes you meet Monday through Friday, and it's a night rehearsal. It's at least 3 hours. Yep. It can be a little more taxing for some. So it's nice to know that for people who may want to be a part of Silver Foxes, because this is the last part. Well, one of the last parts of Silver Foxes I wanted to mention is that it's for a certain age group.
Correct. And we normally, I don't even know if we have a technically.
Yeah, I don't think there's a cutoff time or anything like that. But
just want to be with the group and have fun, I think, is our main focus. And we practice. We normally meet around in early afternoon. and run our rehearsals then and stuff. So
we'll talk about the upcoming production, The Golden Age of Radio, in just a moment. But I want to understand a little bit. We kind of understand Silver Foxes a little more. Those out there listening that we want to encourage to be a part of things, let's explain how you guys got involved with Silver Foxes. Chris, how did you?
I've been a part of the theater now. About 4.5 years
I'd
now.
Say, yeah.
And I've been on some main stage productions and things, but the main reason I got involved with this group was it gave us an opportunity to do some things that maybe you're not going to see on the main stage. And and that's what really drew me in because, well, we're doing the radio show, and I have a real passion for doing that. So that's kind of what pulled me into the group.
I'm glad you touched on that too, Chris. Silver Foxes, they don't just do shows that are designed and great for people in that age range, but it's the fun, creative things that they can do too, some of the more interesting stuff. And it's an intimate setting, the Louis Canton Studio, which great name, great respect to that for naming it that. That area gives you a little more of an intimate setting too, and a lot of people like that. A lot of people like that kind of almost like high school basketball feeling of being right in the court with the team and stuff. So for you, Jim, how did you get involved with Silver Foxes?
I got involved with it kind of as a little bit of a push. The main stage theater, I'm involved in the seventh production in a row, but several people that I've worked with have said, you really need to get on stage, etc. So with me being at age, and those who can't see me, yes, I'm gray. my concern is, do I have the ability to memorize lots of script?
Yeah.
And so I figured that if I were to go into this environment, I have a script in hand that I can read, perform in front of people. I don't have a fear of performing in front of anybody per se, but it's, do I still have the gray matter that I can memorize? And you know what can happen if you can't memorize.
Yeah.
So I figured this would be, Foxes would be a good stepping stone for me to get onto the main stage, and if I can't memorize any lines, I will know that and not embarrass myself in front of a large crowd.
Understanding that is tough to learn that, to have that self-realization, I think. And I admire that. I think that that goes a long way because it becomes not just about... I've run into two different types of performers in my life. The person that's out there for the audience and the person that's out there for themselves. And the person that's out there for the audience has always been the greater performer to me. And that's the kind of person you are. That cares about the audience, that thinks of those things. It may seem a little selfish or it may seem a little even egotistical in some ways, but that is caring about the audience. Wow. That becomes more about the performance and them enjoying the performance than how you looking good out there. Jodie Foster had one of the greatest comments on acting I've ever heard. She said that acting is about being the most uncool person in the room, basically being human, you know, being real. Most of us don't walk around like James Dean, you know. We got our weirdness, we got our silliness and stuff, and that's being real, and that's part of why we love theater, is it brings reality to us. It's a mirror for society in a lot of those. Don, how about you? Don, how did you get involved with Silver Foxes?
Well, it was through the encouragement of my chiropractor. It took her about 2 years to finally convince me to go for it. And my first performance, I'd never acted before. Never did any acting, high school or anything like that. But so my first one was the main stage.
Wow.
And it is challenging to memorize all those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after my first performance on the main stage, I was encouraged to try the Silver Foxes.
Right up.
At first, I thought, "Nah, I don't want to get started with that." But I'm glad I did because we really have a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I also did another main stage, so it's a whole lot easier doing the Silver Foxes because you have the script.
Yeah.
You don't have to memorize it, but you also want to be more comfortable so you're not actually reading from the script. So
it gives
a little bit of acting to it, also.
There's a bit of a net. there's a bit of a safety net out there. And that's a comfort right there. So that automatically loosens you up a little bit more on stage. That kind of frees you up to be a little bit more in character, if you will, even with the script. There's something that I appreciate all of these stories, you guys. Thank you so much. If you're out there listening and you've been on the fence about joining Silver Foxes or looking into it more, I hope these stories encourage you to be like, well, I can relate to at least one of those, if not all of them. There's always that first time person that has never acted before, that's never done anything before, and they get out there and they that's their second home now is WRCT, because they are never leaving. Once you get over there, you're not leaving. That's just the way it works. There's not a lot of one-time users over right there. But preparing for the interview this week and thinking, talking about it, and one of the things that stuck with me, and I haven't had this happen before, one of my first influences and favorite actors of all time was Anthony Quinn. I loved Anthony Quinn. Amazing actor. One of the greatest I've ever seen. But I don't know if a lot of people know that Anthony Quinn had to kind of cut his career short, which is kind of funny to say considering he acted way into his late ages. But he struggled with memorization. And he felt such shame about this that he basically just retired from acting. But he could have kept performing. He lived for another couple of years and certainly acted into his late age. And we see actors all the time in their 80s and 90s right. acting like that. George Burns, famously. But he felt that resistance to do that. If only he'd had Silver Foxes, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
I mean, you know, I say it a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but a little serious,
yeah,
too. Because
absolutely.
We don't have one thing that entertainment has gotten a lot better about, but for many, many, for decades, did a horrible job of, if you are in this age range, we can use you. If you are a woman over the age of 35, we'll see you when you can play a grandma. You got no work in between then. And for men, it was a little bit similar, not as bad, but a little similar. Like older men, we'll talk to you when we need a grandpa or something. Now we've got so much more opportunities and so many more scripts and different things and play groups like the Silver Foxes. I am encouraged by that. I think that that's really cool. It isn't as if the Anthony Quinns of the world aren't still talented, don't have chops, don't still have something to offer and something to give entertainment-wise. So we need an outlet like that.
Absolutely. May I? This is Jim's first performance too with the Silver Foxes. So glad to have him on.
That's cool to see being able to kind of shift gears into this. As you and Donna both touched on a little bit, and I know you've mentioned this before, Chris. It's just as much fun, Silver Foxes. Maybe not as much prep or pressure, if you will, but it is just as much fun as the main stage shows.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's one of the greatest parts of it. And, I would encourage people, if they're thinking about it, to contact the theater, and they can get them in touch with us, and we can see what we can do.
We're going to give you the information on how to reach out to the theater before we wrap up today, but I want to take some time to talk about the Silver Foxes' most recent production, The Golden Age of Radio, directed by you, Chris. It'll be premiering February 22nd at 2 o'clock, February 23rd at 6, and then February 24th at another 2 o'clock show. Can take these in. Encourage you to find out more at wrctheater.org. Chris, what made you want to direct this one? What made you want to pick this play?
Well, as I mentioned before, I have a real passion for doing these radio shows. I was part of a small community theater over in Minnesota, and that's where I was first introduced to doing these things, and I just fell in love with it. So when we moved back over to Wisconsin here, I thought, wow, this is the perfect group for doing this. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of evolved from there, I guess. So. Mm-hmm.
Forgive me, Chris. I can't think off the top of my head. Is this your first directed play? Is this
Actually, no. I directed last year.
I thought you did. Thought so. Okay.
And then kind of the year before, I was involved in a little bit of it.
How do you enjoy directing as opposed to just acting in a show?
It's a lot more work.
Yeah,
I enjoy it. I mean, I think it's kind of fun to mold the show, I guess, for lack of a better term, and try to get the feeling of that. We're trying to give them the feeling of being in an old radio studio back in the 30s and the 40s, and when they had live shows back then. I enjoy it. I really do enjoy the acting part. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of doing a double double thing this time, where I'm going to help by doing some of the announcing stuff. So,
but, I was going to ask if you were also acting in it. All right.
Right.
Cool.
Right. So,
you know, one of the things that I like to ask directors, are you seeing or are you getting what the vision in your head? Are you seeing it on the stage? Are you seeing it in the rehearsals?
Absolutely. We've started, and again, we're getting better. We're evolving. I love the scripts we have, and I think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, it seems like a really good one. It seems like a fun one. So you told us a little bit of what you'll be doing in the show. You're doing some narration?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, actually, yeah. Like most of the shows would have an announcer. They would announce the title of the show and maybe give a background synopsis on what's going on, that type of thing. And then they always had commercial ads, and so the announcers would do those also.
Tim, I'm sorry, Chris, let's talk a little bit about what the play, the kind of plot of the play a little bit, and then I want to get Jim and Don to tell us a little bit about their characters.
Sure. So, well, we're using scripts that were actual radio scripts from the 30s and the 40s.
Awesome.
And one from the 1950, I think there was there too. And so they've been used, so we can pull them offline.
Yeah.
And most of them are
they're royalty, public domain.
Right,
so, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we start, we get everyone up on the stage that's doing their part, and everyone has their scripts, and we get the show going. We have a little on-air sign that we use and an applause sign that we use.
Nice.
And,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
So, it's a lot of fun.
Even somebody my age heard a lot of like The Shadow and some of the old radio shows. My nan and papa, my grandparents used to love to play them. And I grew up, I think that's where my love of radio began, is hearing a lot of those without realizing it. I think that really stemmed a lifetime love of radio. And there's so many people out there like that. I know people that didn't grow up anywhere near that era of listening to radio as a kid or anything, but still love these kind of performances. Where I used to live in DeKalb in Illinois, every year they would do something like this, a radio play. And it was one of the most popular things that they did. And that's a college town, you know, and they'd have nothing but 20-somethings showing up to listen to it and to take it in and all that. These things are still just as popular and have still just as much of a place, you know, in theater.
Oh, they're great. They're great stories. And we try to keep it light.
Yeah.
So we don't really have any dramatic shows this time. But they're on the light side, and they're very well written, by the way.
Yeah,
There's going to be some good laughs, I think, throughout this.
Jim, tell us a little bit about the character you'll be playing.
Well, there's what, five, six, seven total? I'm in, I think, six of them.
Okay. About all of them.
Almost all of them, which, is kind of frightening.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're opening up with Abbott and Costello.
Oh, awesome.
Who's on first. And Don here, he's playing Abbott and I play Costello.
Nice.
It's a hoot.
That's great.
And so it's a lot of fun. So I enjoy that. Another one that we're doing is Fibber McGee and Molly, and I play Fibber McGee.
Perfect.
And so those are some of the characters that I play. I think the one that we're doing is the original Closet one.
The original Closet.
Oh, good choice.
So we're doing that. So... So the play is fun, they're fun, and it's enjoyable. Love it.
Don, how about you? We heard a little bit about what you'll be playing.
Right, yeah. That Abbott, who's on first is really a fun one to do.
Oh.
We're just kind of going back and forth.
Yeah.
And, I also am in the Bickersons.
Cool.
This gentleman is... starts out with a snore.
Nice. The Bickersons
like had to do some method acting on that one, I imagine.
Yeah,
the Bickersons basically about a couple who argue and bicker at each other from their bed.
Nice, right. Perfect.
Like 3 o'clock in the morning. So, and I also want to add that Chris has put a lot of sound effects into a lot of these plays, and that really adds a lot to it.
Yeah. It was something that I when you listen to those old radio programs, great actors. You know, these are all actors that did vaudeville and stuff back in the day and everything. There was no, hey, this is how you do radio acting. They just knew acting, so that they didn't know how to do it any other way. So you got such great performances from such great actors in those shows. The other thing that made those shows hit so well was the sound effects, was having the coconuts together to make horses noises, or the sheet that it told you it was raining out or something. Yeah. Oh, I love that stuff. And well, I know people really enjoy that.
Yeah, we, back in the day, they had a guy or a group of people that would do sound effects. So, and they used anything they could to make that sound. We've kind of modernized ourselves a little bit. So I basically have recorded the sound effects, and we're just going to play them through the computer. But
it's fun too to be able to do something like this, where, you know, if it's a normal show, that's great. There's always a good play out there. Something like this, it gives people a little bit of variety. Gives a chance for people to try a little of this, a little of that, and all of it nostalgia. And there's few things in the world that taste better than nostalgia. Oh, right. It tastes good. Oh, we love our. It smells good. Tastes good. It's great. Nostalgia. I have to ask Jim, doing a like Abbott and Costello, doing Who's on First. We all grew up on that. Like that's a classic bit. Has to be a lot of fun to be able to do something like that. It's supposed to be a little surreal too, I imagine.
Oh, yes. We just kind of even look at each other and just kind of go back and forth, and it's a whole lot of fun.
They're doing great.
There's a lot of good comments in there, words.
Excellent. Yeah. I cannot wait to see this.
It's absolutely fun, because as you read the script, some of it is, you know, when you say, who's on first? Sometimes it's posed, I pose it as a question, and sometimes it's posed as a sentence.
Right.
And so... Dad, you have to look at the exact dialogue and it, how do I punctuate it? Mm. So, but we're getting the timing down pretty good. There's times where we interrupt each other, and we're getting that timing down pretty well.
Yeah.
And it's an awful lot of fun.
Yeah. My favorite part is who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Yeah. So good.
You're the
so
manager, good. Right?
It's such a
you're
going to
coach the team?
Yes.
Then you don't know the names of the players on the team?
Well, I should.
You guys got this.
They do. They're doing great. That's awesome. So far.
Thank you for the sample. Thank you for the preview. That was great.
Yeah.
You know what? Another thing that kind of gives us a chance, Silver Foxes does, in these great performances that you all give and our other Silver Foxes members do, it gives us another opportunity to relive some of these shows, some of these plays, and to appreciate them. You know, it's not for nothing. You grab the greatest comedians in the world right now and ask them to write a bit, and they're going to probably do a good job. But ask them to write a bit that 50, 60 years from now, people are still going to be laughing at. Good luck.
Who's on first is a good one.
That's still a classic bit.
Absolutely.
Even at Second City, we teach that bit still. Even to young students and everything, we still go over that one. It's a good practice bit. It's a good warm-up exercise, a lot of those things. Like, it's kind of cool to still be able to appreciate these and still have them being performed.
Right.
That's such a good feeling. Do you have some questions?
Well, just kind of going over what we are doing. We do have a couple of Superman episodes this time.
Nice.
And we have it's called My Favorite Husband, which is Lucille Ball starred in this. And this was kind of the precursor to I Love Lucy.
Wow.
Then we've got another one, which is called 5-Minute Mystery. And according to the explanation, these were shows that they would offer to radio stations if they had a 5-minute hole they needed to fill or something like that. So it's only 5 minutes long.
That's awesome. That's cool. Wow. And all of these, again, all this stuff was written so well back then and everything. It's really amazing how this has stood up and so many of these shows have done. We're so excited about this. Cannot wait. Get your tickets and find out more and find out about ways that you can volunteer or be a part of things with Silver Foxes, with HOPO, with anything involving our Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Find out more by going to WRCTheater.org. Go ahead and follow them on social media as well. It's a great follow. You guys break a leg. Have a great run. Enjoy yourselves, okay?
Thank you very much, James.
Thank you.
Thank you for the time. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
We will take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Midday Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
988 Wisconsin Lifeline. How can I help you?
Share hope, find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline provides free and confidential support to anyone experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis. Staffed by Family Services, 988 has experienced tremendous growth, and more statewide counselors are needed to answer calls, texts, and chats to the Lifeline. If you want to share hope and find purpose in your next job, apply now. You can work remotely from anywhere in Wisconsin. Training is provided and flexible hours are available. 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselors enjoy competitive compensation and benefits packages. Most importantly, you can share hope and find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. Apply today at 988lifelinecounselor.org. Family Services is an equal opportunity employer.
Paid for by grants from SAMHSA and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Green Party candidates will be on election ballots in Wisconsin this year. That's after Wisconsin Elections Commission action yesterday. A Green Party candidate could make a difference in a close election in a key swing state, and the latest Marquette poll suggests President Biden has the most to lose from third-party and independent candidates. The Green Party has yet to put forward a nominee. It's tax season again. Seniors can get free help filing their taxes. The AARP's Darren Wasniewski says volunteers are trained on the latest tax code changes and can help in person or online.
You just come once, give your documents, and then complete everything electronically online after that, going right over to just providing online coaching.
There are 120 AARP tax aid locations all over Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. Musical theater karaoke night at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater has been postponed. This fun event was scheduled for today from 6 to 10 p.m., but due to unforeseen circumstances, it will be rescheduled. Stay tuned to the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Facebook page for updates on this and the rescheduling of the ribbon cutting for the Lois Canton Cabaret Theater dedication. Stick and Puck will take place at the K-Beat Willett Arena on Sunday from 10:30 to 11:30. Admission is just $6 for residents of Stevens Point and $7 for non-residents. A helmet and gloves are required. The Elks Lodge in Wisconsin Rapids is holding a Super Bowl Sunday party on February 11th at the Elks Lodge 693. The doors open at 5 and the game between the 49ers and the Chiefs starts at 5:30. You can bring a dish to pass and the bar will be open. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves, 129-105. Milwaukee's lost 5 of their last 6 games. Doc Rivers blaming it on the team's travel schedule.
You know, you come back from the trip we just came back from, you know, sleep patterns. And then I've never seen the, you know, just the flights that they had us time change coming back, back to backs, insane. Having said that, no one feels sorry for you.
NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame announcing its new class of inductees, including two former Packers, Julius Peppers, and offensive lineman Steve McMichael. The Bears' Devin Hester also voted in. The Chiefs and former Packers Marquez Valdez-Scantling says playing with Aaron Rodgers was a difference maker in his career.
Aaron is one of my closest friends, probably one of the best teammates I've ever played with in my entire entire life. I'm forever indebted to him. You know, him giving me this opportunity throughout my 4 years in Green Bay. He's a great teammate, great friend, great leader. I love the guy to death.
That's the Chiefs MVS. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Stuck under mostly cloudy skies today, temperatures are hovering near 40. But we've got a breezy west wind gusting up to 25 miles per hour. And that, of course, is making it feel about 10 degrees cooler. We've got to battle another breezy day tomorrow, but mostly sunny skies and much cooler. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Wake up. Breakfast. And Nature Made Vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose. Yeah. I mean,
we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't
know. Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this February 9th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And welcoming into the studio our great friend, Sally Kistner, Executive Director over at the Arts Council. Sally, good to see you.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time. Sally, you and I get together quite a bit, at least once a month, and we always take time highlighting the upcoming show with the Arts Council. We have a lot of fun doing that. You do an amazing job bringing on a guest with us, usually from the ACT, and we appreciate that so much and all you do for our community with the arts. But we don't ever get a chance, really, it seems like, to really just sit back and talk about the Arts Council and talk about the great work that you guys do. So, for one, I want to thank you for being in, and I really want to send a big thank you to Meredith and our friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau giving the time to the Arts Council today.
Absolutely.
So big yep. shout out to them and the great work they do. Sally, before we get into the history of the Arts Council, how did you get involved with the Arts Council?
Well, I had heard about the opening for an executive director at some point, and I knew the president of the board at that time, just asked a few questions about it. I've always been interested in the performing arts. My daughter was involved in performing arts, still is. She's a choreographer. She's a great singer. But I found it very interesting, and I just threw my hat in the ring and got lucky.
It's interesting to hear you always had a love of the arts. And it kind of, it feels like in talking to you over the years and stuff that this job is something you were kind of building up towards whether you knew it or not.
Exactly.
It's interesting.
And looking back, I can see a lot of things that I did in my work life that really pointed toward this, and I'm using a lot of those skills now, so it's cool.
The universe always puts us where we need to be.
Exactly.
You know, it always does. That's very cool. Thank you for sharing that.
You bet.
How about the history of the Arts Council in Southwood County?
So it was incorporated on January 23rd, 1976 as a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to educational purposes. The first name was actually Community Arts Council of Southwood County, Inc. Mm. We've since dropped that to just Arts Council of Southwood County. They've had several physical office locations, starting out in the lower level of McMillan Library and then moving to the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center when it was over on Johnson Street. And then in 2009, we moved to our current location in the North Central Real Estate Office Building on 8th Street South.
And been going strong ever since.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You touched on this a little. Oh, did you have more history? I'm sorry.
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. The performance locations have changed also. We started at McMillan Library, then moved to East Junior High when it had a stage. Then West Junior High, which is now Rams. And since 2000, we've been in the beautiful Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, great facility. Love that building. There are two stages in this state that I want to perform on. It's the Rams one, and it's that Performing Arts Center. I love that place. The acoustics in that building are so beautiful.
Yeah.
You've touched on this a little bit, Sally. Can we get into depth about what the Arts Council mission is?
Sure. The mission is really to promote enjoyment and appreciation of a variety of performing art forms among area residents of all ages. Connected with that, we also provide and fund artist in education programs that allows professional artists to enrich the lives of various students through performances, workshops, and master classes. So basically, we offer these classes when we bring groups in. We offer them to homeschool students as well as students in Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, Assumption Catholic Schools, Pacelli, Port Edwards, Nakusa, Pittsville, Amherst, and Adams Friendship. And we've even reached out to D.C. Everest. Last year, they brought a group in, too.
Awesome. Very cool. You know, it is great to be able to bring these acts into town. The economy that it brings, adults having something to do, especially in our winter months when there's not as much and everything, and all those things, none of us take lightly. But that mission statement is so important and so vital to our community, to our youth. We don't blink an eye at sports and the idea of putting into youth sports. And I applaud that. I agree with that. There's so much, you know, 1-2% of kids are going to make it and go on and do professional sports, but the life lessons you can learn from sports are lifetime. Mm-hmm. It's no different than entertainment and arts. Arts give the same exact things. They give opportunities for children to build confidence, to learn more of their skill set, to understand maybe spark something in them, and they want to take it and run with it, whatever that might mean. About the same percentage of kids that are in shows or learn about these shows or attend these workshops may turn into entertainers.
Right.
But the life lessons they learn, they can apply to whatever field they go into, whatever they do. Tell me there's a field out there that a kid couldn't be more confident or couldn't be more benefited from some confidence or more people skills or communication skills or anything. That's the arts. That's what they give. And having these workshops where it's not just, you know, not to make light of any of our teachers or anything. They all are very good at what they do, and we appreciate that work. But to have a Larry Gatlin, like, talking to you about something or something like that, it means, adds a little more weight to it.
Right. And funny you should mention that, but this season, with the Larry Gatlin songwriting workshop, we actually had a student who was so greatly impacted. His teacher came to me and said that he said this was one of the best days of his life. He has had some things happen to him in the past, and he's poured himself into writing music. Mm. And at the end of the workshop, Larry Gatlin spent like 20 minutes with this kid. It touches my heart to know that our workshops are having this kind of an impact, even on one student. Yeah. And I'm sure there are more we don't hear about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's, thank you for sharing that. That is really, really cool. How about the structure of the Arts Council? Let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah, as I mentioned, we are a nonprofit with one paid employee. That's me. I'm the lucky one. And I report to a board of directors, which is comprised of 9 to 12 members at any given time. They serve 3-year rotating terms, and there are officer positions of president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary, as most boards are set up. Mm-hmm. We also have some volunteers who do ticket sales and work sometimes the night of the show, maybe at the will call table or handing out programs if we're shorthanded. We hold monthly meetings to handle all of our business transactions, and fortunately we also communicate via email with important things that come up in between. Our fiscal year runs July through June.
Thank you for that. Sometimes I think with especially an organization like this or something that's been around for a while, there's going to be new people in town or people that may not know all that information. And I think it's very impactful for businesses out there that we want to advertise with us and work with the Arts Council and everything.
Exactly.
That understanding that structure goes a long way, I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of those sources, what about revenue sources? Well, how does that work for you guys?
So our number one source of revenue is ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So we love to see a packed house.
Yeah.
It's actually about 70% of our revenue. The rest comes from donations, advertising for our programs, and show sponsorships. We also have some in-kind partnerships as far as sponsorships go. For example, WFHR, they sponsor shows and in turn give us free advertising for that particular show. We've done some very creative things as well, where we'll have a business purchase a season ticket, for example, or a pair of season tickets, and then give those away. And so that's a sponsorship.
Yeah.
Donations are very critical as well. And we have some wonderful donors who every single year donate to us, and we absolutely appreciate that. Grants are important. That's a source of revenue, and especially was important during COVID. It kept us in business, basically. Yeah.
When it comes to that, those revenue sources and everything, you mentioned some creative things that you guys have done. We always want to encourage any new business that wants to work with the Arts Council, always open to those things and open to ideas and you know what you're thinking and how we can work together and everything. As it's so, I'm saying we. I don't work at the Arts Council, but that's how much I care about what that you guys do over there. Yeah. So I don't mean to keep saying we.
The community kind of owns us, I feel.
Yeah.
You
know, a good way to put it. Yeah.
We do a service for them. So
I encourage people to look into other resources and other ways that you can impact things with the Arts Council. And as Sally told you right there, those ticket sales are everything. They're so vital. Spreading the word about these events and these shows, it goes so much farther than we could really put into words. You could bring any act into town, and you just don't know how the ticket sales are going to go for that set act.
Exactly.
So we can guarantee certain things. We can't guarantee that, but we can guarantee certain things. And as far as grants or, donations and that goes a lot farther than we'll ever be able to word. So greatly appreciate this community supporting the arts like they do.
Right.
As far as support efforts go, let's dive into that a little bit, Sally. We're touching on it already, kind of leaning into it.
Yes, exactly. So I do an annual mailing to our individual donors who support us, and that's just an annual thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
We are also going to be starting our business solicitation. We do that in the spring and summer. So that's when we start looking for sponsorships. By that time, we will have identified our whole season so that we can actually have someone choose a show they'd like to sponsor.
Mm.
And there are various levels of sponsorship, anywhere from $500 to $4,000 and up. And as I mentioned, we're also looking for different ways to work together.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be a monetary sponsorship. We also have advertising. Our programs, we have a beautiful color program, and then we have a black and white insert that we change. So if someone wants to change up their ad, if they're in retail sales and they want to make it a little bit different, we have a couple of businesses who do that every single show. They change it up a little bit, and they have that option. So that's pretty much our support efforts.
When it comes to the way that the Arts Council supports the businesses that advertise with them, I think it's noteworthy as well, because you're attaching your name not just to the Arts Council, but to the acts that are performing there. So Uptown, has this great show last night and kills it, does an amazing job.
Yep.
I swear I could hear them from the other side of town. They were sounding so good.
They were awesome.
And a great turnout and all that. Well, if we're WFHR, we're advertising with you you guys. We're not just being sold along with the Arts Council. We're being sold along with Uptown. We're being sold exactly. with that. You know, you're attaching your name to something like that, which brings more eyeballs, which is what every advertiser, every business is looking for. So the opportunity, how many other opportunities you have in Wood County to be able to do something like that?
Right.
Like, that's a pretty darn good opportunity. If I'm a business, I'm jumping on that. I want to be a part of something like that.
Yep. In addition to being mentioned several times in the program and getting an ad as part of your sponsorship in the program, we mention them whenever we can. Mm-hmm. We've got the business names on posters. We mention them as an intro before the show starts. It's all over the place.
Yeah. When, as we mentioned before, we have a relationship, WFHR and the Arts Council. Mm-hmm. When we talk about these shows, we talk about the sponsors. So you're getting heard on the radio as well. There's so many avenues here. And just word of mouth, you're handing out these pamphlets. And I see, oh, the WFHR is on the pamphlets. And
right.
That. And so showing the community support as well, the PR of this mm-hmm. is unparalleled. Like any business worth their salt nowadays understands it's not just my business. It's who I'm attaching myself to. It's who right. I'm supporting. Nike and McDonald's don't need money, but you see them sponsoring things all the time because it matters. People in our conscious, whether it's subconscious or not, it matters. Oh, I see this business is putting back into our community. Right. This business cares about the arts. That stuff goes a lot farther than we can put into words.
You bet.
When it comes to the community involvement and how we can be more involved, we've kind of touched on this a little bit too. But are there other ways we can be involved with the Arts Council?
Or
vice versa.
Sure. We're trying to get visibility a little bit more to get the word out there because you would be amazed at the number of people who are like, you know, Arts Council, what's that? I've never heard of them. And we've been around since 1976. So we're doing some new things. We've just started in the past year. We did Cranberry Blossom Fest Parade that we're also going to do this year again. At a Rafters game, we did a 50-50 raffle last year, and we're scheduled for the end of June again this year.
Excellent.
We did the Christmas tree walk at the museum, and we're going to do that again just to get the word out there. Mm-hmm. But then we also like to do things for the community. For example, the Aspirus Women's Cancer Patient Fund. We are going to donate to that through our Always Olivia performance.
That's beautiful.
Next month. We're collaborating with Mid-State Tech with their culinary arts program. We scheduled a reception that their students are going to be providing the appetizers for before the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis tribute.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a good idea.
And we have a couple of restaurants that we are helping promote mm-hmm. by doing dinners beforehand. We had the last one last night. So
nice.
We'll probably continue doing things like this to just kind of get a little more community involvement going on.
We're stronger together. You know, we realize that in this community really well. Rapids really gets that. And when you know you've got a nonprofit and an organization that could just season opening, like, hey, we could do something with this team, or we could do something with this restaurant or this organization mm-hmm. or something, and seeing that those two working together or these organizations work together only benefits all of us. It makes us all stronger. It makes our economy stronger. All of the above.
Yeah.
When it comes to the cost of bringing these acts in. I imagine that this varies from act to act and everything, but it's also something that you don't have to understand this industry to understand that this is probably one of the bigger, you know, budget things. Is as far as your budget goes, this is one of the biggest things out of the pie that goes to, out of the budget, goes to these things, these acts.
Right. And people are surprised. New board members who come on board are amazed at what all is associated with a performance. I know the general public doesn't have a clue.
Yeah.
So I'd just like to touch on that a little bit. Yeah. The performance fee, obviously, is going to be probably the highest.
Sure, yeah.
But then we pay for security. That has become very important. In the contracts, they demand security now. Yeah. So we pay for security. Some of these costs aren't huge, but they add up.
Everything adds up, yeah.
We have PAC rental. We pay for the tech crews who work the shows. Mm-hmm. And when that doesn't work, you know, it can make or break a show. So we have janitorial crews that we pay for at the PAC. And then sometimes we have to get outside sound, lighting, and equipment rental. Fees can add up. Yeah. We have ticketing system fees. We have credit card fees that we pay, though being a nonprofit, we get decent fees for that. Mm-hmm. So we are not at the point where we're going to charge those back to our patrons.
That's nice.
And of course, marketing expenses.
Yeah.
Those can really add up.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's just your general administrative and general operating costs, yeah. You know, rent for our building, mm-hmm. things like that. And they all break down and kind of get divided among the number of shows that mm-hmm. we do. Mm-hmm. So we sort of calculate it that way mm-hmm. and try and figure out when we're scheduling shows what kind of price to come up with for yeah. a ticket mm-hmm. based on all this. And we've got a cool spreadsheet that somebody before me made, and we can just plug numbers in and kind of make cool. adjustments as necessary.
And, you know, if you are like myself and you could, you know, I think that they're such affordable tickets. I've never seen a show in the years we've been talking. I've never seen a show that I looked at and I was like, well, that's a high price or anything like that. I've always, right. it's always the opposite. I'm always like, wow, that is great that they can offer something like this for that price.
And yes, our goal is to break even. Yeah. We are a nonprofit, so our goal yeah. is to break even. And sometimes some of the tickets we could be charging a lot more for, mm-hmm. but we want to fill the house and we yeah. want to make it affordable. So we kind of make some adjustments for the whole season that way.
You've done a great job of giving us history, of breaking down the Arts Council, showing us how the Arts Council has our community's back and does things for our community. Let's show the Arts Council we have their back. Let's show them that we support them. Let's put into the Arts Council, put into the arts in any of these different ways you can do that. And if you can't do any of some of these financial ways or anything, all of us can spread the word about these shows.
Absolutely.
And can always use volunteers, can always mm-hmm. use people like that, people that care, like Sally did before she started working at the Arts Council, had a passion for this. Maybe you're somebody like that. We can always look, could always use good people.
Absolutely.
As we're wrapping up with our last couple of minutes here, Sally, I want to talk about the upcoming productions. And a shout out to Uptown. Great work the other night. Great work by them. Big thank you to them for coming to town and talking with us on the air. It was really good meeting them, having them on the air with us.
Yep.
Got a really great show coming right up, Sally. My mom is dying to go see this.
We've actually got two in March,
yeah,
so
yeah.
it's going to be a very busy weekend. The first one is How Sweet It Is. Mm-hmm. It's Steve Leslie singing James Taylor. Mm. This guy is phenomenal. He looks and sounds just like James
it's
Taylor.
It's uncanny.
Yes.
Like, it really is. Like I grew up in a James Taylor house, and I've heard a lot of Mr. Taylor over the years.
Yep.
I again, wasn't looking at the screen when I played him, and I'm like, whoa, like, he's really good.
Right. Mm. He's also a Grammy Award-winning songwriter, and we're going to be doing a workshop with him. With students that
awesome.
Day at 10 o'clock.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Hmm. Yeah.
And you mentioned this a little bit already on March 10th. I have another great show coming
yes,
up.
Yes, Always Olivia. It's an Olivia Newton-John tribute. It's on a Sunday afternoon, so we're trying an afternoon show once, see how that goes. And as I mentioned, we're not only doing donations for the Aspirus Women's Cancer Patient Fund, but $3 from each ticket, adult ticket sale, is going to be donated there.
Annie Aiello, I believe is her name.
Yes.
She's from the, at least either if she's not from there, she performed in Chicago area a lot.
She is from the Chicago area.
She is
area.
From there.
Yep.
So I've heard her name before when she was doing kind of solo stuff.
Okay.
And she's got a pretty good name in that city. And
yes.
To take, I think it's pretty cool to, like, she could be doing her own thing, but this is how much Olivia meant to her and how much she cares, like about this. And all of that being said, we love Olivia Newton-John, love her and the memory of her. It's great the impact this can make on the research and raising awareness
exactly.
and stuff cannot be taken lightly. It's just as important as taking in a great show.
And she also donates a portion of
yeah.
her performance fee goes to the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Fund.
Now, that is something unique to this particular show, but don't lose sight of this, everybody. Every one of these shows make an impact in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of these shows add to our economy, add to our youth, add to our just fun, just in general, just
yeah.
great and fun in this area and stuff. Like, not everybody's got something like this, and not everybody has a Sally Kistner caring so much about our community and adding to it like you do. I appreciate
Thank you,
Sally.
Thank you.
appreciate your board and the team over there at the Arts Council, all the volunteers. We certainly send a shout out to Eric and the team at the PAC that join us too. We are so much better of a community for having you and having this team and these things in place. And you would certainly notice if you didn't have them. So let's appreciate what we have and let's make sure that we keep it around. Add to the Arts Council as much as you can in any of the ways that Sally and I have talked about today. You can find out more and get your tickets at savorthearts.com. That's savorthearts.com. Be sure to get those tickets. Don't wait. You don't want to wait. No, get them right away. And I got more great shows coming up. Sally will join us to talk about some of those later next month, probably. Thanks for the time, Sally.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Mm.
And a big thank you again to Meredith and our friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit them and find out ways that you can put back into your community. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week. Shout out to our Pam Hilke for doing an amazing job scheduling week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican. She's a Democrat. She's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief, Republican.